Welcome to Ask for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. As for Football's Army Football Show is brought to you by Uniform Flag. Order yours today with 100% of the proceeds going to the Lead the Way Fund.
Well, that kind of sucked, not going to lie. 8 p.m. game that really we should have won, could have won. Frankly, it just kind of stinks to have another Power 5 loss that we should have won. Should have beat Oklahoma, should have beat Michigan, and we should have beat Wake Forest. Hey guys, it's Jordan in Atlanta, Georgia, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, James in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and this is the As for Football College Football Show, brought to you by Uniform Flag. Uniform Flag offers hand-dyed American flags made from donated U.S. military uniforms. They're 11 by 14 inches, and you can carry true American spirit into your home or business in three easy steps. Choose your uniform fabric, they hand-make your flag, and then you display it in your office. Every flag is dyed, sewn, framed, and shipped by their small, mighty team of veterans in Columbus, Ohio. They use what's called dye-hard technology, which is a sublimation technique that ensures the colors won't run, so you'll have a patriotic display piece you can pass down for generations. And they're also donating 100% of their profits to help support veterans in need via the Ranger Lead the Way Fund. So make sure you check out Uniform Flag. Really great way to get rid of some of those West Point uniforms that you have sitting in your basement that your girlfriend or wife has been begging you to get rid of.
Dan, love to see a uniform. Yeah, I was going to say, I'd love to see a Uniform Flag made out of somebody's old dress gray. Go ahead.
That'd be great. I don't know if they can do that, but that'd be cool.
I bet they can. Anyway, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, Dan, how are you feeling after this week's loss?
Honestly, the worst thing about it was that it started at 8, so that means it didn't end until 11:30, and it's so hard to go to sleep after you've been screaming at the TV for 3 hours. Like, that's just a bad deal. And all that to finish, like, when they were just getting pounded, it was like, all right, this game is boring, but at least I can sleep. And then, no, they turn it on in the fourth quarter, so I'm like, holy shit, these guys are going to win. But nope. So all that and the disappointment and the screaming at the TV. Yeah, I just didn't love it. It was a tough game.
Yeah. James?
Yeah, disappointment. I mean, this is another Power 5 game that Army could have won. And I'm getting tired of saying that. It's just, you know, you go into these games and the most disappointing part about it was just and we'll get more into this later, but I just felt like there was no offensive scheme for the first three quarters of the game. And it's like, how do you go into this with that lack of preparation off a bye week?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we didn't lose because our guys didn't want to play like at Ball State.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We lost because of coaching and play calling. And it's frustrating to watch our guys, you know, we're down in the third quarter and they're still sprinting off the field and taking their helmets off, getting water, putting the helmets right back. Like, they were engaged in discipline and they were ready to fight. And Coach Munkin talked about, you know, the only people surprised that we lost were the people in the locker room, because they believed it. So obviously, you know, Army lost 20-14 and we forced a fumble and a punt on the Badgers' first two drives. But then offensively, we just couldn't get anything going. And, you know, we ran. It looked like we kept running, you know, Tyrell Robinson to the freaking A-gap against the number one run defense in the country over and over and over again. And then the coaches would look at each other on the sidelines like, well, why didn't that work? Like, well, you got a 300-pound guy against a 175-pound slot back. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Wisconsin scored twice in the second quarter. Army blocked an extra point, and the defense really held tough throughout the whole game, but especially in the second half. Third quarter was just phenomenal for the defense. Finally, the Black Knights got moving in the fourth quarter. Once we saw Jabari Laws come in and start rotating at quarterback, we were able to score to make it 13-17, got a stop, 5 minutes remaining. And then we had an incomplete pass that was recovered. It was an incomplete pass, very obviously an incomplete pass that the Big Ten idiots ruled a fumble that then Wisconsin recovered at the 1 yard line. Wisconsin scored the touchdown. We still came back, made it a game, put another TD on the board with a minute remaining. could not recover the onside kick. In the end, we had every chance to win this game, even though the refs were very blatantly calling against us. Couldn't convert early, could not get, we had 48, less than 50 yards of offense in the first half. Like, you cannot win a football game with that. That is abysmal and embarrassing and every other negative adjective you want to use, it just horrible. But by the time we made some adjustments and figured things out, it was too late. So Dan, I could really kind of tease you up to talk about the offense, but can you just kind of run through it and what happened?
Yeah. So first off, let's just frame this, right? This was not a bad offensive performance. In fact, there are a couple of really good offensive performances hidden in what was otherwise a frustrating day. So let's just realize this, right? We finished with 266 yards total, which quite honestly is about what I was expecting. Jabari Laws went 5 of 6 passing for 87 yards. He remains the most accurate passer on this team. Army ran for 179 yards on 50 carries. That's 3.6 yards per carry, which is the most anybody's run on against Wisconsin by a mile. That is much better than Michigan did against them. Quarterback Tyler led the way. He had 90 yards and one touchdown on only 17 carries. That is objectively excellent running by Tyler. Slotback Tyrell Robinson had 6 carries for 45 yards, 7.5 yards per carry. When he could get outside, he was money. A.J. Howard had 1 carry for 6 yards and a touchdown. It was just an electric carry, too. Plus, he also had that amazing catch for, 40 yards. Like, that was just dynamic. Notably, Army ran really well outside the tackles. They ran really well outside the tackles. They got nothing inside, right? Fullbacks carried 19 times in this game for a whopping 34 yards. That is 1.8 yards per carry. That's about what the rest of the FBS has done against Wisconsin's rushing defense. So, this is not a surprise. I think we knew this going in, right? These guys are really good. What's surprising is that of a total of 50 carries, 19 of them went to the fullback dive. You ran the ball 50 times, 34%, almost 40% of Army's running plays went to the A or the B gap, even in the two-minute offense, even when it was obvious that this wasn't working. So, there is fury among the fans, and I don't want to really reflect that fury. I want to be positive about this game. The positive is Jabari Laws completing 83% of his passes. You know, Michigan also threw all over these guys, right? The Army coaching staff put in there a game plan with Laws, with the passing game, with the outside running game that actually worked. So it's not like they didn't know what they were getting into. When they pulled the trigger on that that aggressive passing game, that thing worked, and they moved the ball at will on Wisconsin for 2 drives. What's frustrating is it took us until the fourth quarter to really pull the trigger and put the hammer down. And especially when the opportunities were in the first quarter. And so that's why just letting those go. I remember thinking during the first quarter, okay, this has started out exactly the way you want it to, right? We've got this fumble and then we forced this punt. You've got these drives starting in plus territory. This is exactly what we said had to happen, but they couldn't capitalize. And now we know, and with hindsight, and of course hindsight's 2020, we're not there, but we know that they had the plays in that they needed for those opportunities. They were just, they were just afraid to pull the trigger on them until they really, really had to. So that's what's frustrating to me. James, yeah. I see you got one more thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Real quick. I mean, you said 40% of them were fullback dives, which is true. But more than that went to the A and the B gap. I mean, there were a significant number of plays where either the quarterback or one of the A backs decided to, they ran a play where you have, as Jordan said, Tyrell Robinson going through the A gap. Why are you sending Tyrell Robinson through the A gap against Wisconsin, against any Power 5 team, really against most teams in FBS, but especially against Wisconsin? A majority of their plays went through the A or B gap. I think the fury from Army fans comes from the fact that somebody like myself, who has not played football competitively since the second grade, can look at this matchup and say, if they're going to win this game, they need to get established on the outside. And then they don't get established on the outside until the late third quarter, and then it works. How is it that nobody in 3 quarters of football said, hey, maybe we shouldn't run it up the A or B gap for the 15th time in this half?
Listen, they, like I said, they obviously had the plays that they wanted in the game plan, right? They knew at a certain level, they knew what they needed to do to win this game. We saw it, because when they did it, it worked. It's just, it was a long time. Like, they played it so close to the vest for so long. I think just trying to get into a fourth quarter that they could win. But yeah, that's frustrating. Let's move on. Let's don't bash these guys. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah. So all I'm going to say is, we run the ball, and like, that is the Army identity, and it's part of our culture. And I get that, but sometimes you need to make an adjustment. And frankly, it's a little disappointing when, after, Oklahoma, we were told, coaches came out and said, hey, if we just would have called it a little bit differently, we would have won. We should have won. We had the talent. We had the game plan, everything. And Michigan was the same thing. And it's the same thing this, like at some point, it's like, hey, like, when are we going to learn the lesson that we need to call things a little bit more aggressively? And I understand they go off analytics. I understand that they have a hell of a lot more experience than anyone on this podcast. I got that. But I also find it hard to believe that the analytics says, hey, run the same play three times in a row and send the slot back through the A gap against one of the best defensive tackles in nose guards in the country.
Yeah. Let's run a fullback 40% of these running plays.
It just doesn't make sense to me that that was what the analytics gave us. And if it's true, then maybe we don't know what we're talking about and the analytics are right. Or, someone sold us some bad analytics. I don't know, but it's just like, it's frustrating that every single time we play a Power Five team, we come really close and we look back and it's like, hey, if we would have called the game like we did in the second half, we would have won the game. So I understand halftime adjustments are a thing, but you need to be able to make adjustments before there's 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah. Well, it is worth one last thing, and then let's move on, because I don't think anybody wants to live in the past at this point. There's a lot of positives to take from this game, and I definitely want to stay on that. But let's just frame this out and say we went 5 of 6 passing, and we probably needed to go 7 of 8 passing to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. James, defensively, can you recap that for us?
Yeah, sure. So there were those two drives in the second quarter where Wisconsin scored touchdowns. But other than that, Army's defense was really outstanding all game. The only other touchdown they gave up was when Wisconsin got it on the one, and even that took them a couple of plays, I think. They held Wisconsin to 310 total yards of offense, 3 of 10 on third down, which is exactly what the defense needed to do to keep Army in the game. Mm-hmm. They forced two fumbles. They recovered one. And you just sort of get the sense that if Army's offense had converted a touchdown or two earlier in the game and Wisconsin sort of felt like their backs were up against the wall, there would have been at least another turnover or two that this defense would have gotten to. They were electric throughout the game. They put up a sack very early in the game. Andre Carter had another and 5 TFLs. The exact same, Wisconsin had the same numbers against Army. The defense performed. The defense did what they needed to do to give Army a shot, and they did that.
It's worth noting that the Wisconsin press was all over their main linebacker there. I don't remember his name, because Wisconsin posted 5 tackles for loss, and nobody said anything about Army's defense, which posted exactly the same statistics of 1 sack and 5 tackles for loss. And that's freaking crazy.
Yeah. There was no, fared independent media or this game.
No.
But James, you're exactly right. The defense did everything that they needed to do and then some. I mean, you take away the fumble that was really an incomplete pass, and defense only allowed 13 points. So I think that's what's most frustrating, is defense came to play, offense executed. It's just, they had the intensity and they had the drive. They just didn't direct that in essentially to the outside of the field or to the passing game. Also, Zach Harding had 5 punts for fully 200 yards, 1 down, the Wisconsin 5. His longest punt was 50 yards. Kick coverage was excellent, with the exception of the blocked kick, the blocked field goal and allowing Wisconsin to convert a punt. Special teams really got better this week. They had Wisconsin had 1 kickoff return for 12 yards, no punt returns whatsoever. It also hurt that we missed that field goal, because, had that fumble thing not happened, we would have been within a field goal. Anyway, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Absolutely.
Moving on, good, bad, the ugly. Dan, take the good. Give us some positives.
Yeah. So right. So let's focus on the positive here, right? And hopefully we can do that as we move forward through this next bit. As we've said, you know, Army's defense is still very good. They're going to need to be this week, but folks, this defense is legit. They are really good. They are especially really good against the run. They seem to have fixed their problems on kick coverage, which is a miracle considering that we've seen that on and off this season. Zach Harding is an awesome punter, like we just saw that. Guys, Tahir Tyler averaged 5.3 yards per carry against the best rushing defense in the entire nation. That is insane. That's insane. That is an awesome performance. That is awesome. Oh, for those of you wondering why Tahir Tyler is still in there, that's why he's in there, guys. He is a really good quarterback. And then finally, Jabari Laws, still the most accurate passer on this team. 5 of 6 passing under these circumstances is outstanding. I truly believe that there is something to this quarterback rotation. I think that it's right. I just don't think that they've kind of dialed it in just yet.
Completely agree. And you know, for everyone on Twitter hating on Tyler, you try to run 5.3 yards per carry.
Oh, my God.
Rushing defense in the nation.
Yeah. No.
Nothing was moving inside. So when he ran it inside, yeah, it's easy to sit there and be like, oh, he stinks. Like, no. But like, as soon as he runs it to the outside, like, he is good in space. He's good after contact. You just can't run against one of the largest and most, you know, physical defenses in the country in the middle when they have 9 guys in the box.
I get so frustrated. Yeah, I get so frustrated with it too, because it's like all these guys talking all this shit, like, oh, this guy's not good and blah, blah, blah. Like, am I the only one that's been in a big time sporting event against a dude who's like a foot taller than you? Like, how the hell am I going to keep up with this dude? Like, this stuff happens all the time. And when you perform under those situations, like, it's the best feeling in the world. So, you know, Tyler has a lot to be proud of. It was a frustrating game all the way around, obviously, but the dude really performed very, very well. And any other reading of what happened on Saturday is inaccurate.
Yeah, I think the people talking crap are all the Army fans who are, you know, mid-career, stuck in a, you know, a career they don't like. But, like, they have these Twitter accounts where all they do is talk crap. So they have 100 followers. They think they're important, but they don't want to put their picture on Twitter. And so it's like some random Army logo or picture of the barracks or something like that. And they just sit there and throw shade and talk crap. And, you know, a bunch of other angry people like it because people are angry and need to go outside and go on some walks and release some happy endorphins. So,
yeah. Well, it's really easy to be negative. It's real easy to be negative, but let's don't do that. Go ahead.
I'm just going to blow through the bad and the ugly. We've been through the bad. We've talked about it. We're not going to continue to dwell on it. Ugly 8 o'clock start was awful. James, for you, was it a 7 o'clock start? Six?
Yeah, in seven.
Yeah, so not as bad, but you know, Dan put in the notes that he
Dan's just an old man. I mean, I'm up watching Pac-12 at night. I'm starting to get into the Japanese football, which you can keep watching into the morning. I mean, why stop after the Army game?
Yeah, so I went on Reddit college football to like show my girlfriend what happened at Tennessee. And I just scrolled through all the Pac-12 crap and then all the Japanese football. I was like, what is happening? Like, I was so confused. So James, thanks for your service. don't start talking about that in the group chat.
That'd be a step too far, I think.
Yeah. Oh my God. I might mute you.
The Japanese football is definitely taking it a step too far. I'm just going to throw that out there. Not saying that they can't play, but I've never seen it on TV.
James, you need a hobby. Like, I don't know.
I do. It's watching college football.
You need a new hobby. Like woodworking or.
I'll be the first to admit.
Piano tuning. I don't know.
I'll be the first to admit I have a problem, but let's not pretend like Dan doesn't have a problem when he's trying to go to sleep in the early third quarter.
Well, he's old. Dan has a problem when it comes to lacrosse. Dan also has a problem when it comes to being sheep.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's so much more to this story. Let's let this go.
Yeah, okay. Big Ten Network coverage was uninformed at best. They were like, oh, where's the Christian Harrison? Homie, he didn't even get on the plane. Like, he's back in New York. They just didn't even know what was going on. And it was so biased once I understand it's the Big Ten Network. But, you know, try to have some professionalism, especially when we're talking about Army. And we did not see a single holding call all night on Wisconsin. Obvious incomplete pass called the fumble. Officiating was terrible. I said on Twitter, James disagreed with me, but the Wisconsin, the ref would call a Wisconsin first down, and you know, the Army first down was, oh, it's first down. Army's like, first down, Wisconsin. Like, that's what the ref is doing on the field. Like, he's announcing. So that should have really clued you off. And their right tackle was holding all night blatantly. Like I said, I coached third grade football, and those refs would have called that a hold. Anyway, is what it is. Fact or fiction review. It was ugly. Dan said we complete 50% of our passes. That was fact. I said Army has more than 250 rushing. That was fiction. James, Army is plus two or greater in the turnover margin. Fiction. Rob, Army will win time of possession. That was fiction. James, do you want to read this commercial?
Sure. So we got our mailing list, as we've told you about before, but there's a lot of as football fans out there that miss some content every week, so make sure you listen up. We're putting a lot of content out there, and you can follow us on social media and try to catch all of it, but everybody's busy. You know you're going to miss some stuff. So go ahead and go to askforfootball.com, hit the subscribe button, sign up for the mailing list. You'll just get an email every week with all the content that we have for the upcoming game, reviewing the previous game, and that way you won't miss anything. So far, we've seen that emails are really working. I know Dan has gotten some of the stats back, and there are a lot of people that were missing content that are actually getting to go see the content they missed because of those emails. So don't miss out. It's really easy. Just go to askforfootball.com, hit the subscribe box, and sign up for the mailing list.
Yeah, so I would like to point out that fully half of the people who receive these emails are actually opening them, which is amazing for, you know, like a promotional email like this. And 20% of the people who are receiving these emails, regardless of whether they open them or not, are actually clicking through to something that they missed. So a tremendous number, about one in five of you, has missed something during the week and is catching up on it through the mailing list. And if you're not on the mailing list, you're just missing stuff and you have no idea. So sign up today.
Also, if you own a business and you want people to see your business, we could potentially put your logo in that email. So yeah, reach out to Dan and he has some information. Well, there you go. Exactly. Wake Forest is this week, and they're 6-0, which no one saw coming. And, you know, the last time we beat them, it's because someone who shall remain nameless on our offensive staff bought their plays from the old Wake Forest radio announcer. But we're not going to talk about that because, you know, duty on our country. Anyway, Wake Forest opened the season with a win over Old Dominion and FCS Norfolk, beat Florida State 35-14, beat Virginia 31-17, outlasted Louisville 37-34, and then they beat Syracuse 40-37 in overtime despite allowing 354 yards rushing. So it's a good team, but they've had a lot of breaks this season. So offensively, it's almost like they're the Big 12. It's just all offense all the time. Dan, is that right?
Yeah. They've embraced it too. Their coach actually said in an interview, yeah, we're outscoring people. I mean, you know, he just owned it. So yeah, very slightly run first offense with a heavy dose of downfield passing. Quarterback Sam Hartman, 116 of 184 passing, 63% completion percentage, which is pretty good. 1,650 yards plus 14 touchdowns, just three interceptions. That's outstanding with nine sacks. So, you know, bottom line, this dude can really sling it. He's thrown a lot of TDs, but he's gotten sacked a good number of times too. He's also carried 40 times for 125 yards and three touchdowns. It's just 3.1 yards per carry, but it makes a huge difference in the right spots. Their top two running backs are each averaging 4.5 yards per carry with eight total touchdowns. And they have a bunch of receivers with a bunch of catches, as you can imagine. But their top three are Jaquari Robertson, A.T. Perry, and Taylor Morin. Roberson and Perry are more like downfield threats, whereas Morin has tended to catch short balls, short in this case being defined as something like 12 yards. Teams rush for about 1,000 yards total, but thrown for 1,600. So you figure they're running maybe three out of five plays, but throwing for a good bit more than they're running. And similarly, they've scored 13 rushing touchdowns with 14 passing touchdowns. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. I think if you stop the run, though, you help yourself quite a bit with this team.
Thank God, by the way, that this is on CBS Sports and not ACC Network. I've watched two Wake Forest games so far this year, and they will not shut up about the slow mesh. Wake Forest does this thing where the running back is going to come up to the quarterback and put his arm around the football and sit there for 2 seconds while the play develops. And then the quarterback is going to decide whether to give it to the running back or keep it and try to throw or keep it himself. It's this sort of RPO, really slow RPO. And I thank God we don't have to listen to a bunch of ACC announcers gush over this for 3.5 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no thanks. James, defense.
So this team has 18 sacks, which is, quite a bit, and 7 interceptions, but they are allowing 174 yards rushing per game. And this is against a lot of, pass-heavy teams in the ACC. Their top 3 leading tacklers are all defensive backs. We've seen this before this season, teams like Western Kentucky, where, you don't have a bunch of big linebackers. You have more defensive backs. Usually works out well for the fullback dive. So the Army offense can go back to their crutch. Moreover, these guys have given up a lot of rushing yardage to good rushing teams. So Syracuse, a big rushing team, rushed for 350 on them, over 6 yards a carry. Louisville for over 200 for 5 yards a carry. And Virginia, they gave up just 99 yards at 3.7 yards per carry, but they gave up 407 passing. So when they stuffed the box, Virginia just went over top. That was a really good game to watch. Bottom line, Wake Forest has to score on damn near every drive, and they've made that work so far. It's tough to pull it off for an entire season, so let's hope that Army can put an end to that. One good thing is if Army can sustain some long drives, this sort of slow RPO type thing requires a lot of precision and execution. So if you can keep that quarterback cold in the cold weather up in West Point, maybe he makes a couple mistakes and the Army defense can give the offense a couple short fields and prevent Wake Forest from scoring too much.
Yeah. Special teams are good. Perfect and extra points of field goals. Like you said, it's going to be highs in the upper 50s or 60s at West Point this weekend with considerable cloudiness, winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Might get kind of chilly out there. It got into the 60s and the 50s in Atlanta this week, and I'm freezing my butt off. So a team from Wake Forest coming up there to play some football might affect them more than we'll think. Either way, the line is at Wake 3.5 right now. I think it opened at Wake -4. Army's +140 on the money line. It's a terrible bet. Don't take it. Over-under sits at 52. This is the rare Army game where you might want to take the over just because Wake Forest's defense is so bad. CBS Sports has the game starting at noon, so thank the good Lord, baby Jesus. Takes on the game. Daniel.
Yeah, so like we've been sort of alluding to this, but the tough thing about Wisconsin is that they were always going to force Army out of their comfort zone, right? Like we knew that. That was not news. The good news is that this game, while I don't think it's going to be easy by any means, it's a game that Army can win by being the best version of the Army team, right? We're not going out there expecting that we're going to have to pass because the fullback dive's going nowhere. No, Army, these long, slow, grinding drives ought to totally work, and this is the best thing that they can do to help themselves. So they can succeed by being the Black Knights, and that is awesome. Thank God, especially coming out of that game at Wisconsin.
Yeah. James?
Yeah, I think that Army's offense is not going to have a lot of big question marks this week. I think they score about 4 points per drive, pretty standard, pre-Wisconsin. Nothing big there. The biggest matchup in this game is going to be whether that slow mesh is going to give Army some fits. We saw that happen a little bit last week in Wisconsin, and we've long known that the way to beat Army is to extend the time in the pocket and either get that quarterback loose or find something shallow and start getting some first downs that way. So that'll be the big matchup. It'll be whether or not Army can create some mistakes on defense.
Yeah, I think you both really hit the nail on the head. We know that we love to establish the dive up the middle. So we should be able to do that. And might get to throw the ball a little bit, but you know, really, if we can keep it on the ground, I'll be happy with the performance this week. And this, once again, is a game that we should win, bottom line. So let's see what happens. And you know, after this, we have a week off before Air Force. So fingers crossed. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Dan, you are up.
I am going to stay with the same fact or fiction because I continue to think that it's important. I say Army completes more than 50% of their passes. This is my new watchword. Passing matters. Not that they have to pass a lot, but they need to pass effectively. James? Oh, okay, go ahead, Jordan.
I'm going to say fact. I think we will. Either Christian Anderson or Jabari Laws needs to pass, but both of them are accurate enough. So, fact.
James?
Yeah, I'll go fact. I think I don't think they'll be passing a whole lot this game. And I think when they do pass, it'll be a pretty wide open receiver.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those times when you don't get the sense that they are going to have to pass a lot. But if we just sit there and let Wake Forest load the box with 11 dudes like that, we can see how that probably won't end well. Right. So just a couple of passes to loosen things up, to prove the point that it's possible and you have to be ready for it. I think Army hits 50% of their passes, and I really think they roll. I think we're going to see the best version of Army this week at home. I really believe that.
All right, James.
I am going to say Army defense picks up 2 sacks this weekend.
Oh, I'll take that for sure.
Yeah, okay. Fact. I agree.
Okay, fact agreement.
All right, I'm going to do something a little different for my fact or fiction. I asked the guys in the Firsty Club what they wanted to see for fact or fiction. So we're going to run through these really quick. You are not allowed to clarify, quantify, say anything besides fact or fiction, gentlemen.
Okay.
Do we understand?
Yes.
All right. So Eric in the Firsty Club said Army leads at half. Fact or fiction? Dan.
Fact.
James.
Fact.
All right. Corey said Mikey gets sold out. Dan.
I think that already happened. Fact.
Yeah.
Fact. James? Okay. Eric says Army has a passing touchdown. Different Eric. Dan?
Fiction.
Who has a passing touchdown?
Army.
Oh, fact.
I'm going to say fact, too. Mike says Army puts up 250 rushing. Dan?
Jesus, they better. Fact.
Fact.
Fact. And then finally, Brian said Jabari Laws gets the start. Fact or fiction?
Fiction.
Fiction.
Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to go ahead and say fact because I think we might have Anderson back, but we'll see. All right. So that was fact or fiction. Thank you for listening. Dan, favorite thing.
Yeah. So Astro Football has a couple of new sponsors this week. We've talked about Uniform Flag, which is awesome sponsor. I think it's a good sponsor for us just on theme. But we also picked up Craig Atson, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper and Kramer Mortgage Company. Not quite ready to fully roll that out, including I got to get Craig to make sure that I am pronouncing his last name correctly. But we're totally grateful to have him on board. And friends, wait until you hear the deal he has for veterans looking to buy or refinance their houses. Honestly, when he told me about it, I was blown away. We've also got a bunch of new patrons on Patreon and in the Firsty Club. So bottom line, Astro Football is growing. And we could not do that without your help. So thank you so much. We hope you're enjoying our stuff. We got good feedback this week. We're trying to keep it positive. It was a frustrating weekend, but this is a good team. And we knew that they had a tough schedule this season. So, you know, stick with us, stick with Army. And if you like Astro Football, the best thing that you can do to help us is just to tell your friends who are not on social media about Astro Football, you know, just as a way to sort of support the team and help support us and help us grow. That helps us tremendously. And so thank you very much. We're very much looking forward to finishing the season strong.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. And you make sure you check us out on social media. Make sure you check Uniform Flag out and sign up for our mailing list. So, yeah, with that, go Army beat Wake Forest.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to Astro Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as the Astro Football team provides you more hot takes and insights to the Army football season. And as always, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Uniform Flag. Get a great conversation piece for your home or office. A handmade American flag made by veterans from actual U.S. military uniforms. The these custom flags will add mystique to anywhere that you choose to display them, with all the proceeds going to the Lead the Way Fund. Sign up for our mailing list and get the latest info at askforfootball.com. Stay tuned for new episodes coming to a podcast platform near you.